broadcasting worldwide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, you are in the clubhouse, and the clubhouse this weekend is the Wild Eye Country Club Clubhouse. I'm overlooking the Kahala Beach, and I can see Cocoa Head in the distance and beautiful palms. The sun hasn't quite come up yet. There's a pinkness to the clouds, though. You can see it's just about to rise just after 7 o'clock. It'll come above the horizon. The ocean is still. We're going to have a beautiful morning. Anybody who's got an early tea time has got it good, because we're at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Mark Rolfing, Mr. Hawaii, is my first guest. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advanced. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And we're sponsored by Sony Open in Hawaii. Come to the Wailea Country Club today. Tickets, you get them at the gate. They're only $20. It's all for charity, and all the money raised is matched by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. That's right. If they raise $500,000 this week, Sony Open Hawaii, then the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation matches it with a $500,000 gift. That's $1 million. You could raise a whole lot of money. If you wonder where to park, go to the Hunakai or Kahala Community Parks, and you get a free shuttle all the way in. And if you're in the Waikiki area or you want to park your car, it's a $2 shuttle from the aquarium, the zoo, Duke Kahanamoku, Sheraton Waikiki, just some of the pickup spots in Waikiki. We're going to have a mostly sunny morning, then becoming mostly cloudy with a slight chance of thunderstorms. What does that mean for a golf tournament? Mr. Hawaii, Mark Rolfing, NBC, oh, you are all over the place, Golf Channel, it's so good to hear you. I got to tell you something, okay? On Twitter, I have several followers, and it's really exciting. And one of them is Bread Chick, and she's a total golfer. She makes bread. She's really good, okay? And she sends sometimes brownies and cookies to people. All right, she wrote this on Twitter. She said, I watch the Hawaiian PGA Tour events as much for Mark Rolfing's travelogues as the golf. In response to that, a fellow in Vancouver said, he's Mike in the club, replied to her, Mark's a hell of an ambassador for Hawaii. And she followed up by saying, if I didn't want to go to Hawaii already, I would after listening to Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. That was nice to hear. I do have to tell you, though, that listening to you pronounce Hunakai, 10 years ago when I was doing this, I would have called it Hunakai. And now that I listen to you do the traffic on a more regular basis, I'm kind of getting the names of things now. So I have my little map up in my tower, and I'm getting used to the difference between Cocoa Crater and Cocoa Head. And so they're coming to me a lot because I can pronounce them right now.
It's just awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you kind of get a sense of it and you're comfortable with it.
Yes. Nailed it. Too bad we were in a commercial already, but you pronounced it correctly.
Now, this event following Kapalua, they're so different, the golf courses. We've got this fabulous plantation course, these wide open fairways and huge greens, and then whoop, everything kind of narrows down, and we're at Wailea Country Club. Seth Rayner, built in 1927, modified by Robert Trent Jones.
And Desmond Muirhead did a lot of work out here.
Okay, and that was all to put the Kahala Hotel and some other buildings in, right? And so this must be a big change for these guys.
It's a big change, but, you know, in a way, Danielle, it's kind of a microcosm of Hawaii, which is what makes it so attractive. Every island in Hawaii is totally different, and that's why people can come here. And if you go to two or three different islands, the Big Island is totally different from Kauai, which is totally different from Maui. there's so much diversity here that you need to be able to enjoy it. And if you go to a lot of destinations that have three or four courses, they're all the same. And I think it's really neat that Waialae is so different from the plantation course, and I think that's what the players like about it.
Absolutely. We have number two in the world, Adam Scott. He is contending. He's a few shots back, but the way this course plays, a lot of times on the weekend, we have come-from-behinders. Is that because if you have an early tee time, which you do if you're kind of at the bottom of the leaderboard, you've got it easier than the guys who are at the top when the wind picks up?
Yeah, you know, you look at the scores that some of the players have shot the last few years on the weekend. I mean, it's pretty typical for the winner here to shoot 129, 130, pair of 65s or something like that on the weekend. So it's almost like the Sony Open starts on Saturday these days. You don't want to shoot yourself out of it on Thursday and Friday, but you can't win it on Thursday, Friday, because somebody's going to really go low on the weekend. And so I just saw John Rollins when I was walking in. He's headed out there now. He's going to tee off early. And you're absolutely right. Before this little front comes in, he is going to have, you know, some prime golf conditions. And you're going to see some guys go really low this morning.
And you talk about the different things that we can do in Hawaii, including, of course, paddleboarding, surfing, kayaking, whatever it is, you know, swimming, sunbathing. How many tour events would you have a championship surfer on the bag for the number two golfer in the world? That was amazing yesterday.
You know, it's really pretty hysterical. Kelly Slater started texting me about a month ago telling me that this was going to happen, and I didn't believe him. And we had heard that Steve Williams was an alternate to try and get in a race down in New Zealand, and he wasn't yet qualified for it. He maybe was going to go or maybe wasn't. But Kelly's telling me about this caddy that Adam has talked to, and you know, I don't know Benji, but I started talking to Kelly and I said, does he know anything about caddying? No. I just didn't think it was possible it was going to happen, but it has, and it's been great. You watch Benji out on the course, he's like a spectator, too, because he's sitting on the side of the green, you know, and when another guy makes a putt, he starts clapping. It's great. I mean, you never see a caddy do something like that.
Yeah, and he talked Adam Scott out of using driver on Thursday on the 18th hole, wasn't
right.
it?
Right, he thought he was going to hit it to the fairway. It was a good call. So,
yeah, I thought that was, you know, that he would, and what a good vibe. I think Adam Scott described it as being kind of cool. It was a very good vibe.
Yeah, it's a good vibe, and Adam's one of those guys that really, when he feels comfy, look out. I mean, he, you know, he felt comfy in a situation at Augusta that most players would have wilted, and he feels comfy here, and he feels comfy with Benji, and to me, that's a good thing. You look at some other players that don't feel totally comfy out here. John Daly trying to make the cut on the last hole yesterday, hitting iron off number nine, trying to somehow make a par.
Yeah.
He was not feeling comfy, I'll tell you.
But he did it. I mean, of all of our sponsor exemptions, Quentin Long didn't make it. Hideki Matsuyama had to pull out because of the thumb injury. But here's John Daly, you know, and he shoots a beautiful 66 on Thursday, and then he's all over the map yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God, John, how can you do eagle double bogey?
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Well, it's great to have him in the field on the weekend, too, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him go out there and shoot low this morning early. You know, this is an important year for John because, you know, he's not getting any younger, and he's going to really have to start performing. This whole pile of sponsor exemptions he's been getting is eventually going to run out, and it's a big weekend for him. If he could somehow, you know, get through, shoot some good scores, probably not win, but, you know, maybe have a top 10, that would be huge.
That would be huge, and watching him, I was impressed with the fact that he was keeping his composure even when things went south.
Yeah, he made that triple bogey at three. I thought things would fall apart for him then, but they didn't, and he held it together well. But, boy, that last hole, I said on the air live, I have never seen John Daly hit an iron off a par five hole. And so he got the iron in the fairway, and then he tried to hit an iron down the middle of the fairway and snap hooked it. It could have gone out of bounds, hit a tree, crashed into the rough, you know, left the next one short of the green, chipped it up, had this, and we showed this shot of him standing over there just going, what am I doing? He got it in, though. I got to hand it to him. That was probably the hardest working par he's ever had in his life.
And then James Hahn.
Yeah.
James Hahn. Is it the first double eagle albatross ever here during a PGA Tour event?
First one I've heard of, but, you know, everybody was clamoring for a dance, and so I think James Hahn needs to learn how to do a little hula. because he can't go out there and start, you know, jumping around on the green here in Hawaii. So maybe if before next year he thinks about learning how to do a little hula or something, you know, maybe a fire dance, that might be good. But just something a little more indigenous to the place.
You mean instead of the chest bump that failed?
Yeah, that did not work well. That didn't work very well.
I thought it was so funny when he said something. I'm trying to be politically correct, but I forgot that white guys can't jump. You've got a couple of really great shows. You've been doing Golf Hawaii for a long time, and just, you know, spreading the word about how beautiful Hawaii is and that there's not just golf. There's so many things to do. You're also doing Global Golf Adventure. Tell us a little bit about your television show.
Well, you know, I've started. What's happened in the game of golf, Danielle, as you well know, is that the big events just keep getting bigger. You know, 20 years ago when they concocted these World Golf Championships and all this stuff, everybody was worried that the major championships were going to be diluted. And in fact, they've become more important. The Masters is the biggest event of the year. The U.S. Open, those have become bigger events. And the Ryder Cup has gone along with it. So, for example, what I am doing now is rather than just going to a place because of its geography for a show, I'm going around an event. And I will do, Scotland will be one of my destinations this year because the Ryder Cup's in Scotland.
Awesome.
And I've been able to figure out how to connect some dots. So here's a good connection. The Ryder Cup captain is Tom Watson. Tom Watson is Mr. Hawalalai. Both Mark and Tom will be at Hawalalai next week. So it's no coincidence you will see a big interview with Mark Rolfing and Tom Watson about the Ryder Cup in Scotland from Hawalalai. So that's connecting dots.
That's beautiful. And when you go to Scotland, you know, I think Hawaii people, even though it's, you know, they'd love to see where to go in addition to where to play in Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, Scotland is actually a pretty easy place to get around. Now, one of the problems with the Ryder Cup is it's so late in the year. I wish they were playing in the summertime, because if you go to Scotland, my first trip is going to be in May this year. And even in May, you can have dinner and then tee off and play 18 holes because Scotland is so far north. It's a wonderful place if you are a hardcore golfer to go and play a lot of golf. Now, come October, when the Ryder Cup is staged, 5 o'clock at night, it's going to be about 35 degrees, probably raining sideways and dark, which is going to give the Europeans even a bigger advantage.
That's been the big question. If I made the, before we go back to Hawalalai and the Big Island, what are they going to do? We've got Tom Watson, pulled him out as captain, hoping to finally become victorious as a Ryder Cup team. We've got these great U.S. players who generally dominate, and then the Euros come along and cream us.
They do. You know, there's a couple things, Danielle. First of all, I think the Americans try too hard. You see them reacting differently to situations than they would even at major championships. But I also think that in a lot of ways, we don't really manage our team properly. Medina was very interesting because I was with the Ian Poulter match on Saturday, those last few holes when he did that magic that really turned the Ryder Cup around. But I watched on Sunday very closely the finish of that thing and went through there with three matches at 17 and 18. And if we'd have had an assistant captain or Davis Love watching those holes on television and radioing down to Davis to tell the guys when they got to the 17th tee, no matter what you do, don't hit it in the back bunker. Or at 18, no matter what you do, don't hit it over the green. Nobody's going to get it up and down from over the green. We got guys driving in the fairway at 18. Everybody's hitting it over the green, four bogeys in a row. We lost the Ryder Cup at 17 and 18.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, you know, they do all this sophisticated stuff and planning and everything else. But if somebody just would have said, hey, don't go long, you know, leave it short, lay up even if you have to, I think we would have won the Ryder Cup.
Interesting. So it's that kind of support mechanism that we need more of.
Probably, and we got to finish off the matches. That's, you know, we get ahead, looks pretty good, and then we don't finish off the match.
We're not closing.
That's right. That's right.
Now, we're talking with Mr. Hawaii, Mark Rolfing. You'll see him on the coverage that is earlier today. It's going to start at 11 o'clock Hawaii time on Golf Channel. And this is because of the potential for a thunder shower or so. Although, It says a slight chance. They're not taking any chances. And some rain is forecast for later in the day. So we'll see. Right now, it's absolutely splendid. That sun, the orb, is coming up above the ocean. And it is, I have to go take a picture really quick so I can send it. I want to tweet this to you. In any event, it's going to be a beautiful day for you to come. And let's go to the Big Island. I'm talking to Mark Rolfing, Mr. Hawaii. Got something coming up on the Big Island. Can we talk about what's happening along the coast, the Kohala coast, what you've got in, what's in store?
Well, yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, golf and lava is something that's become a staple for us in Hawaii, and we've kind of taken it for granted. But 51 years ago, there was no such thing. And they're coming up on a big anniversary of 50 years over there from when Mauna Kea opened, which was the original course. Robert Trent Jones Sr. designed that course. So we're going to have a year-long promotion that's going to be sort of, we're going to take it across a bunch of platforms. You're going to see it on NBC. You're going to see it on Golf Channel. You're going to see it in local markets. Like, we're doing a big promotion in Chicago in February, and it's going to be all about this celebration anniversary for the Big Island. And, you know, we're actually going to incorporate the State Open, which is right at the sort of anniversary time. Big Three Golf was played on December 8th of 1964. That was Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Gary Player. And that'll be the weekend before State Open. So they're really scheduling a whole lot of things. The Mauna Kea Invitational, which is a big amateur tournament that's typically played in July, is going to move to the first week in December. And we're going to do a bunch of really cool stuff and bring out some of the old-timers that were around back then and have sort of a year-long celebration of a 50-year anniversary. And then the great thing is we move right into the 50th anniversary here in Wailea. So it's going to be a great next 18 months.
I need to do my show from there.
There you go.
I would love to do that.
We'll figure out how to do that.
That would be so fantastic. This is really, really exciting, and it's amazing. I remember when people were talking about Rockefeller saying, yeah, I'm going to build me a hotel over there. I'm going to put in a golf course. And people are going, huh? There's lava fields and there's no water. And he said, I'm going to go find me somebody who can find that water. He found himself a geologist. He found himself water because there's water underneath the lava, right, in little ponds. And that's how we got the Mauna Kea, and the whole resort along the Kohala coast became.
You know, it's interesting, Danielle. I talked to Reese Jones the other day, who's going to come out. We're going to have a little press junket over there in April, which we would love to have you over for.
Wow.
But when Reese was a young boy, he worked on that project with his dad. So he was just, probably less than 10 years old. And he was telling me about how his dad had developed this process for actually crushing lava, which was the first time anybody had figured out how to do it. When Reese built Kohana Iki, which is the newest club over there on the Big Island,
he'll be on the show next week. Yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah.
They basically used some of the same principles from 50 years ago. Not a lot has changed. So this whole idea of taking that landscape and turning it into a golf course is pretty unique, and it's in a lot of ways the essence of Hawaii, and certainly the essence of that island.
Yeah, absolutely fabulous. We need to take a break, and standing by is somebody who is just the opposite of what we're talking about. We're talking about taking a landscape and adjusting it to create a golf course, and we're going to be talking with Tom Doak, who is a minimalist architect who takes what's there and creates a golf course.
And I am a big fan of Tom Doak, by the way. I love him.
Mark Rolfing, real pleasure talking to you. Just love having you on the show. You are a wealth of information. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
Okay. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea for the Sony Open January 6th through the 12th. Come kick off the 2014 tour season with Zach Johnson, Webb Simpson, Jason Duffner, and Matt Kuchar. Big names, big action. Tickets at friendsofhawaii.org or at First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Military free with valid ID, new admissions and bag policy. It's the Sony Open at Wailea, January 6th through the 12th. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
The 2014 ILX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
The Acura RDX is incredibly spacious, with over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space. With leather-trimmed seating surfaces, the RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 Best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stored in cargo area.
The 2014 RDX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. I am so thrilled to be able to introduce you to one of the top golf course architects in the world. Five of his courses ranked by Golf Magazine in the top 100. He's building courses in China, New Zealand, the U.S. He's a golf course historian, and he wrote The Confidential Guide, the Doak Scale, rating courses 1 to 10. Written in 1996, the book is being updated to include another 3,000 courses. One of his best-known restorations was Eamons Hall in South Carolina. It's a Seth Rayner course. And, of course, Wildlife Country Club happens to be a Seth Rayner course. Now, some of his courses include Golf Magazine Top 100, number 20, Pacific Dunes. And there's a book, I believe, being written now by Tom Doak, golf course architect. But why don't we ask him and introduce him? Good morning. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, sir.
Good morning, Danielle.
It's great to have you on. Are you writing a book now about building of Pacific Dunes?
You know, I've got three books in some sort of completion, but none of them are done yet. So it's hard to know which one's going to be first right now.
Which three do you have coming up?
Well, actually, the Confidential Guide is the one, especially the way up on the computer in front of me while I'm talking to you right now. So I would guess that that will be the first one done. you know, it's been a long time getting back to that book. When I wrote it 20 years ago, I wasn't, you know, I'd only done like half a dozen golf courses on my own, and I was known at that time more for writing for Golf Magazine and being a critic of architecture than being an architect. So writing critiques of other people's golf courses was taken at one level, but, you know, once I started being known as a designer, then it would have been taken as being critical of the guys that I compete with for jobs. So that book's been on the shelf for about 20 years, but, you know, at this point, I think the business has changed some, and, you know, I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin, and I think that, you know, there's been demand for this book. You know, originally I wrote it for 40 friends, and, you know, the last version sold 12,000 copies, and to find one now, you go on eBay, and you can only get one if you want to pay $250 for it. So wow. There's some demand out there, and I'd like to get back to it. I like to write.
Yeah, well, once writing is in you, it kind of stays in your blood, much like I imagine. We're talking with Tom Doak, and he, a golf course architect, Barndougal Dunes in Australia with Mike Clayton, Cape Kidnappers in New Zealand is his course, Ballyneal in the U.S., and Old MacDonald in the U.S. with Jim Urbina. You have beautiful courses that you've created out of the ground you found. Where did you study, and what inspires you? How do you see a golf course in the landscape?
Well, I've been really fortunate to build my career around the idea that you wanted to build golf courses on pretty sites instead of, you know, a garbage dump that you were reclaiming or something like that. And it's a small niche of the business. You know, when the golf business was booming, we were building so many courses, a lot of them were more for housing development than for just golf. And so not all of them were built on beautiful pieces of land. But, you know, most of the best courses are built on beautiful land. And, you know, if I can find clients that want to do something really great, the place to start is finding the right piece of land to do it on.
I understand that there was a piece of land in Wisconsin that you were hoping that would be the one chosen to do it, but a good friend of yours who was just here at Kapalua, Ben Crenshaw, will be doing that course. That must be, I understand you just got back from the Philippines. It would have been really nice to stay home. You're in Michigan, close to Wisconsin, to do another course?
Right. I'm speaking today from Smilly, Traverse City, Michigan. I've lived here for the last 25 years. It's the place where I built my first couple of golf courses on my own. One right here and one about an hour away. I have not worked within 200 miles of home in the last 20 years. So even though it's very glamorous to go to New Zealand and the Philippines and those places and build golf courses on really cool terrain, it's also nice to hang around home a little more. You know, I've been on the road 150 days a year or more for the last 20 years, and that gets tiring after a while.
Uh-huh.
So we are lucky. We're talking to somebody about a new project here in Michigan, which would be, you know, an hour from my house. That'll be terrific. And that project in Wisconsin is one of Mr. Kaiser's, and, you know, the plan is for multiple golf courses eventually. So we hope to get to work over there again.
That would be terrific. And I would love to meet you when you come to Hawaii. Now, from what I've been told, you are going to be doing some work here at the Waialae Country Club, bringing the Seth Rayner course back to, certainly it can't be restored to its original condition. It's bordered now by a freeway, a large road that is a small road, actually, with a bunch of houses that you could, I don't think the Waialae Country Club membership will be buying out. Then there's this gigantic hotel and all the housing that goes along. It's hard. You're limited. But are you going to be doing this project here at Waialae Country Club?
Yeah, the club signed us up last year to do a master plan. Their goal is to, well, in the future at least, to keep the Rayner heritage of the golf course in mind and any more work they do to try to be faithful to what Rayner has done. As you described before, you can't restore the golf course entirely to what it was. I mean, the original first two holes started out from the clubhouse and played east, I guess that is, right along the ocean. And the hotel is right now. they changed that all around about 50 years ago, I guess, and rerouted a lot of the front nine to go around the hotel and up into the fields a little more. And that's a longer-term thing to think about. Well, how can we make those holes that weren't really part of the original plan more like what Rayner might have done if this was the property that he had to work with? But the back nine, I think everybody in Hawaii knows that they reversed the nines for the tournament. So what you see on TV this week is the back nine is really the front nine, and that's the one that got tuned the most. What's really the club back nine really hasn't changed a lot. The boundaries haven't changed. The locations of the holes haven't changed. You know, it's more that the mowing lines have changed. The bunkering has changed some. The greens aren't as big as they used to be. And those things are pretty easy to fix. And that's the kind of work we do for a lot of the clubs we consult at. So I think that's probably where we'll start. You know, we've done this big master plan. Obviously, it's up to the club to decide how much of it they want to tackle and how fast they want to tackle it. And and that remains to be seen. But they think they're moving in the right direction now, and we're looking forward to coming back periodically and helping out.
Excellent. Mark Rolfing is here, of course, on NBC. You know Mark Rolfing. He was just saying, I think you heard him say that he's a big fan of yours. So he's here to ask a couple of questions.
Tom, you know, one of the holes that I'm calling this week is number 9, as you say, that the holes are reversed out here. But I saw your consulting report. First of all, I think it is brilliant the way you have positioned the whole thought process here. But I'm particularly interested in number 9 because what you're talking about potentially is maybe doing a couple of holes in the beginning to just show the members, you know, what could be done. And I absolutely fell in love with what I saw you sketch there at number 9, because that's exactly what ought to be there. It's not there now. You're not changing the routing of the hole. You're really not even changing the shape of the hole. So I just wanted to ask you, how did you look at that hole in particular and say, well, the bunkers shouldn't be where they are right now. You know, I'll show you where the bunkers ought to be. How do you do that?
Well, it's interesting because it's changed so much over time in terms of how far guys are hitting the ball. When Rayner designed the hole in 1925, he was thinking 240-yard drive. And so the bunkers are 210 yards off the tee, thinking you had to get a pretty solid drive to carry the bunker. You know, that's not even in my thought process anymore, much less a tour pro. So we're trying to figure out how to bring things back in that still look like they were there. And the way to do that is, you know, make the hole a bit more S-shaped, where the bunker that the weaker golfer will have to play over or around for their second shot is also the bunker that comes into play for the long tour hitters that are going for the green and two.
You know, that is just so intriguing to me. One of the reasons, Tom, that Ben Trenchot was at Kapalua this past weekend, we spent a lot of time at the tournament, was overlooking at some of those holes on the plantation. Not only has technology changed things and the way guys play the game, but, you know, we're really going through some climate change out here. And when that course was built and we did all the rainfall and wind studies on it, I mean, the trade winds were pretty predictable. You know, they blew 300 days a year on average, and we've only had 2 trade wind tournaments of the last 10 years out there now. So some of the holes are pointing totally backwards, and it's almost like that here at Wileye, too, in a lot of ways. You're going to see it this afternoon. This wind is turning around right now, and it's going to be coming out of the southwest, and these holes are going to be totally different than what people are used to.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the wind has such a big influence out there where, you know, the hole will play 75 yards longer if you're playing into the wind instead of downwind. You really do have to think about it in the design. But, you know, it's always true as a designer, you can't really design everything around one prevailing wind because the whole thing works backwards when the wind blows the other way. And, you know, you can't think that there's only one wind. The trade winds are about as consistent as anything, and, you know, now it seems like they're not so much anymore.
No, and in fact, the south winds are expected to blow, and when they do blow, they come very, very light. They're usually called light and variable winds, 5 to 15 miles an hour, and it's usually 5, and they're out of the south. It's like a Santa Ana wind. In Switzerland, it's called the Föhn. It's just a very sickly sort of wind that comes in, and everything becomes still, and the courses are, it's target golf. It's very interesting how it completely changes the complexion of the course, and as you said, you can't design it around the wind because it's one of the big variables. But I'm curious, with 60,000 plus rounds or so played here at Wailea Country Club, and the demands of the Sony Open in Hawaii being played here and being prepared for it, how do you make changes, bunkering changes? Maybe I was even wondering if you were considering any grass changes to the greens or the fairways. How do you do that within those confines?
Well, we haven't talked about any grass changes so far. The golf course was in terrific condition when I saw it last summer, just firm and fast and really playing well. You're right that some bigger changes involve closing holes for a while, and not just YY, any club membership resists that as much as they can. They don't like to give up the golf course even for a day or two.
Right.
So it's difficult to figure out the politics of how to work around that. And, some of the changes we're talking about, at least at the front end, when you think in mowing lines, that doesn't really change anything. That's all done at 5 in the morning. The tree removal does not get in people's way. Redoing fairway bunkers, that only takes 2 or 3 days to rebuild a bunker and tear an old one out. The new bunker may be ground under repair for a while, but that's not a big deal. It's more when if you're going to change greens, that's when you're going to close a hole for a while. And there are different ways to do that. Find a place that you can build an extra hole, like an extra par 3, so you can take one hole out of play and the members are still playing 18 holes. Or go to a temporary green for a while, which nobody loves to do, but you can do it. I think we have to do some smaller things first to convince everybody that we're going the right direction before they want to tackle some of those bigger projects. But I think they'll get to it.
When I was walking the course, and of course I haven't done it frequently because I'm not a member at YLI Country Club. So I'm
yet.
Thank you. So I'm walking and I'm thinking, this doesn't make sense. There's something disjointed about what's going on here. And there's some places, the par 3s are absolutely beautiful. I just love the par 3s. And then
the par 3s are probably the most characteristic thing of Rainier's design. And, he got his ideas from Charles McDonald, and McDonald had identified 3 holes in the UK that he thought were the best par 3 holes in the world. And, that was 80 or 100 years ago, and it wasn't so easy to move dirt around and build, exactly what you wanted on a big hole. But for a par 3, it's not that hard. If you find a place where you hit across the valley like the hole wants to, and all you've got to do is build a green complex that looks like the one overseas that they want, that was easy to do. So pretty much every golf course Rainier ever built, they had a Ridgeland hole like the East at YLI. They had a version of the Eden hole at St. Andrews. They had a short hole like 16 at YLI, the 140-yard par 3 with a big green with a lot of contour in it. So yeah, it's the right part of the green.
It's interesting, Tom. I didn't know that I was going to be on with you today, but I did a piece on the Golf Channel the other day about the finish here for the tournament, of which 4 of the last 5 holes are, sharp dog leg lefts. And one of the things that I was talking about is how they've created this wall of vegetation down the entire left-hand side on these holes. That's almost a fake wall of vegetation. And I would imagine that as you take a look at YLI, you will see that it's become quite a bit over-vegetated.
Those are the 14, 15, 16 for the tournament, the middle of the front 9 for the members. That's the trickiest part because those are the holes that were completely rerouted in order to do housing development at the far end. So they're not Rainier holes at all right now. They would open this to them whenever that was, in the 60s sometime. Probably the same time we were doing Mauna Kea, actually, we did that. We've got to see how to handle that. A couple of the holes play right along housing, so you can't, you might spin the vegetation some, but you're not going to encourage play right up along the backyard of the houses. You've really got to get the play more into the middle of the golf course and make the strategy work around that.
It's an absolute pleasure and a joy speaking with you. Tom Doak, golf course architect, one of the top in the world. Thanks so much for being on the show. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Danielle. I wish I was in your weather right now.
Well, just think you're inside and you have to be productive on your books with your writing. And I'm looking forward to them coming out. Thank you so much for being on the show. Aloha, Tom Doak. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Winter storms getting you down? Why not join us in Hawaii at the Aston Waikiki Sunset? This family-friendly condominium resort offers the best of both worlds. Hotel services and amenities, and all the comforts and conveniences of home, just over a block from famous Waikiki Beach. Newly renovated spacious suites include fully equipped kitchens, separate living and bedroom areas, and a private lanai to relax while enjoying magnificent views of Diamond Head, the Pacific, or Honolulu's vibrant city lights. Visit AstonHotels.com or call 1-866-774-2924.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. Yes, Tom Doak is in the middle of the frozen tundra we know as the mainland, Michigan, and it was so good of him to call in to talk about the changes here at the YLI Country Club. Not major ones, just making it seem more like the Seth Rayner course that was originally built in 1927. There's not a lot of property to expand, certainly. You're going to have to deal with what there is here. And bringing into the show now a good friend of mine, Alex Maselli. You know that he was doing Internet before there was Internet? He was doing Internet-type work using AOL and dial-up. And kids, if you don't know what that is, ask your parents what dial-up means. That was a long, long time ago, before I was born. And now, then he created, you should have seen the eyebrows go up on Alex's face. Okay, then he created golf.com. Alex Maselli, welcome to the show. Mr. Bowtie, law degree, you know how to ask a question, sometimes combative in nature, they say, but the players love you. They always come to you to talk about what's on their mind.
I don't know about combative in nature, but thank you, Danielle.
I just wanted to get it all in the beginning.
That's right. That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
I see you on the range. Well, you spend a lot of time on the green, on the range, talking to the guys. There was a show on Golf Channel called On the Range, and your insight and what kind of equipment, what they were doing, what they were thinking about, what they were tweaking, I always found that to be terrific. I wish they'd do that again.
Well, I mean, it is interesting because a lot of people want to know what's going on out here, and it's hard to really get an insight into what is going on out here. On a normal week, this is a little different, but I mean, normal week on the PGA Tour, it's 156 guys, and you know, you got pro-ams or everything else, there's a lot of stuff happening, and there's trucks galore, and they're making changes all the time, and doing this and doing that, and this time of year, a lot of guys have made some equipment changes, gone to different manufacturers, so there's that stuff going on, and then, of course, there's just the swing things that happen, so guy sends a video off to so-and-so, and they look at it, and they're making a little change, like, great example, I thought, was Derek Ernst last week in Hyundai. Derek Ernst played horrible. It was like 76, 79, 76. Didn't know what was going on. We're kind of like thinking, well.
Did you hope there was a cut?
Well, yeah, exactly. And he said his caddy was videoing him up in the practice on the range. And he just kind of looked at it and sent something back to his coach. And he didn't see anything. But he realized that if he just kind of put the ball back just a little in his stance, that might make the difference. I think he shot 70 or 68 the final day, came here and shot 68 the first day of Sony. So it's just something like that. Now, I can tell you right now that me putting the ball back in my stance a little
or a skosh is what I would say, is not going to make a difference.
Even with your 8 handicap?
That's right.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I want to also bring in someone who is here with us. He's a head golf professional, has played in the Sony Open on many occasions. Kevin Carl, head professional at Wailea Country Club. This is Sony Open in Hawaii Week. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'd kind of like just to make this a roundtable discussion about what's happening on the course with the weather conditions. Now, the weather forecast is for showers and possibly some thunder showers. You know, I'm looking out this way, and it's over the ocean. It looks absolutely spectacular. Did you come in, Kevin, from the mountains, that side?
No, I just came in from the southeast side island. It looks great.
And it looks beautiful. It
looks great.
So I always look up at the Ko'olau Range, which is the mountains right on the backside of Honolulu. And you look up there, and if you see clouds, like yesterday and the day before, it was gorgeous here, and it was pouring rain in Kaneohe and Kailua. So I'm just hoping that it stays that side, because we're looking fabulous today.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of almost what we saw yesterday. Early afternoon, midday, we started to see some interior clouds build up a bit, and it threatened for about 15 minutes where it was going to rain, and it backed off. And so I think it's kind of that same idea today.
And I guess they're nervous. They've brought the tee times forward this morning, so if you're coming out to the Sony Open in Hawaii, you can park at Hunakai. You can also park at Kahala Community Park, get a free shuttle to the course, and you want to get out early because the tee times are earlier. I think the leaders tee off at 10 o'clock this morning, and on the 1st and the 10th tee, and there's, in most cases, threesomes going out. What Alex Maselli was talking about, making those adjustments. Kevin, have you been in a situation as a pro and playing and winning on so many occasions here in Hawaii? Can you relate to that?
Definitely. You know, it's small adjustments, and I think more than anything else, mentally, you kind of convince yourself that, okay, that's it. You finally got a refresh, you know, and you reset the buttons and start over. But definitely, little adjustments here and there, and you hold on to it and go from there.
How do you reset, though? I mean, after, you know, what Alex was, what did Derek Ernst shoot, you know, in the 70s, and it's like, I just want to get out of here. I can't stand this, but I'm obligated to play for a round.
Yeah.
And then I guess you just have to, I guess that's it. You know, golfers have to have very short memories.
You do. You do. You definitely do. Yeah, you can't dwell on that bogey you just made with a wedge in your hand.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, and Alex.
Danielle.
I'm curious about the wind. We're talking about wind. We're talking about the course here and the changes, the weather patterns that have happened here in Hawaii, mostly trades, but not so much in the last 10 years. The southerlies have been taking over. It seems to me that there's a lot of come-from-behind winners at the Sony Open in Hawaii.
Well, I think, I've covered this event a lot, and I think what you find is that, first of all, if you're not hitting the ball off the tee well, you're going to have a struggle. I think that's the first thing. So if you're having a bad day there, even though you could be in the lead, it's really not going to matter because the rough is enough to make a difference, and then you have the wind. And I think, unlike last week when they changed the greens up at the plantation course a couple years ago, where they're not so grainy, these greens are very grainy. And so even just the transition from one week to another makes it difficult. And then secondly, I mean, you know, if you're not making putts, all of a sudden it starts weighing on you and can weigh on you very easily. So look at guys where they can shoot 75 one day and 65 another day. Well, that's great, you know. Just hope that you're shooting that 65 when you need to. But if things start going wrong, and I think the front nine here is very – I think the front nine is very demanding. And so if you can start off not playing very well. And then yesterday's great example, Russell Knox, 2-under, coming to the ninth hole, which is his final hole of the day, not a difficult golf hole. In fact, he's just hole on the golf course, made double and is gone. So you can have that kind of stuff just jump up on you too. That's the kind of course this is. I would say that when Seth Rayner designed it, and right now this isn't exactly what Seth Rayner designed. There are pieces of it, but you know, but basically it's a little different. But when Seth Rayner designed it, that's what he designed. He designed the fact that, you know, you can go ahead and play golf, but at times you're going to get caught up. And I think if Doak can bring some of that back, that would be interesting. Not only green complexes, but sometimes off the tee, too. I think the lines are a lot different now, too.
They are. They are. The bunker positioning is completely different than what you typically see with Seth Rayner's, especially his dog legs. You typically put the bunkers on the inside of the dog leg. A couple of our holes, we have them on the outside of the dog leg. So it's a lot of small changes, and it's strategy. You know, and Tom Doak, I think, hit it on the head where he wants the course to be a bit more fun. You know, he wants to make it fun. He wants to get it back to what Seth Rainer originally intended, a fun, strategic golf course.
Yeah, we're talking with Kevin Carl. He's the head professional here at Wildlife Country Club. Alex Maselli, he's a senior writer for Golf Week and contributor to Golf Channel. Now, the membership. One of the things that Tom Doak brought up earlier in the show is that, you know, he's got all these plans. Some of it has to do with bunkering. That may take a little bit more time. Green complexes, that gets a little bit trickier because that will take things out of play and maybe
sure.
have to put in another green. What has I'm sure the membership has been talking about this. Tom Doak couldn't have been on this show without permission from the Wildlife Country Club board. What have you heard, if you may, you know, just kind of in general, what's the buzz been?
Well, we had him and his partner in town, and they spent 3 days just looking at the course, trying to come up with a master plan. They've since come up with a rough master plan. And, you know, it's a several-year project. It's not a one- or two-year deal, and it's in phases. And so it's just trying to determine those phases and how we're going to go about it. And it's not to, you know, hit the members over the head from the beginning. It's to ease into it, give them a sense of what we're trying to do, and then go from there.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
And he and Tom Doak was talking about just mowing, just the way
yeah.
you shape things
Certainly.
Can make a huge difference. And you've experienced his courses in Tasmania. Which course did you go to, Alex Maselli?
Lost Farms, both. Yeah, one of the, his is Lost Farms, I believe, and Barbacle is Crenshaw Core. I can't remember which is which now, to be honest with you.
We're turned around
and then,
here. Barndougal Dunes in Australia
yeah.
with Mike Clayton.
That's
Doak,
right. And then Lost Farm is Crenshaw. And then
yeah.
obviously he's done stuff at Bandon, you know, and then there's other things too. I mean, Kaiser's first nine-hole course Doak was involved in, which is the Dunes Club. So, I mean, he's been, I mean, and then there's all these other things. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff that Tom's done.
He's always very considerate of what he's working with. He's done a Seth Rainer course in the past.
Well, you know, the one thing that's interesting, and I listened to Gil Hands talk about this, when you're designing a course, you're designing the course, you're starting from scratch, you get to do what you want. But when you're bringing a course back of one of the Ross course or Rainer course, you kind of have to be, you have to think in their way. You want to impart your way that you would have done it. You want to try to bring it back the way Seth Rainer. That's what they're asking for. They're asking for the course to be back to where Seth Rainer brought it was when he designed it. And so you're looking at a lot of photos. You're looking at shots from aerial shots. You're kind of looking at walking around and looking at different things. And what you get then is you get a Seth Rainer. So as an example, Ken was talking about, there might be a place where they're out there working on a hole and where bunkering used to be on the inside. You might start digging around and you might actually find the stand from the bunker that was there.
Wow.
And then you'll know that actually was a bunker. Now, you'll see it from the aerial, too, probably, but that's how a lot of this stuff happens.
Wow. Doing aerial work or digging around and finding, it's like archaeology on a golf course. And Seth Rainer, he has courses that are in the top 100, as does, of course, Tom Doak. Seth Rainer designed Fisher's Island Club, number 24. He designed Shore Acres, number 61, and Camargo, number 70. I mean, he's done the Greenbrier, he's done the TPC Old White Course, the Mid-Ocean Club in Bermuda, all of those, but those aren't on the top 100. But Seth Rainer, Mid-Pacific Country Club is one of his courses,
right?
And I don't know how much change was done there, but I think they've pretty much kept Mid-Pacific Country Club the way he designed it. They didn't encroach as much as happened here.
Yeah, Camargo is a great course in Cincinnati. I mean, that's the thing. You go to these courses, and you really take a look, and it's stunning what they're like. It's just amazing. There's so many good courses by old architects, and you just hope that the membership, no offense to anybody, but the membership hasn't screwed it up along the way, A.
Yes.
And then B, a lot of what happened, too, is in the 60s, there was a lot of this tree-growing stuff. And so, you know, you have trees encroaching. So, A, it's changed the views and the lines off the tees, but B, it's changed the agronomy of the golf courses because you can't get the air in there, you can't get the sun in there. So you take a look at a place like Oakmont, they cleared out all of their trees. It's such a great golf course now, and you can let a lot of air and a lot of light in there, and so it makes it easier to grow grass and really do what you want to do.
And that's interesting, because when I walked the course just recently, I thought, this is like, what are you going to do here? I feel like I'm encroached upon. And going from the plantation course, like, you know,
sure.
we're walking around like all the wide open spaces,
yeah.
and all of a sudden I can see how someone like Jordan Spieth, who didn't make the cut. I mean, Jordan Spieth is at the top of the leaderboard. Sure, he was tired, but he's 20. Hey, right? I mean,
yeah.
tell
yeah.
us as a player, Kevin Carl, the head professional here at Wailea Country Club, what's so hard about Wailea? It's straight.
Well, you know, it's a strategic course. You can put yourself in some really bad positions out there quickly. So if you're not hitting the right side of the dog legs, you're not hitting it the right distances. I mean, you can hit it hole high, but if you're left or right of the flag, good luck. You know, it's tough. So you really have to put yourself in good positions. It's a very patient golf course. You can't force the issue, I don't think.
Interesting. And yeah. When they say it doesn't suit a golfer's eye, you know, when you might think. I would feel like this course wouldn't suit my eye because my eyes are going at those trees. They're looking, I've got so many distractions going on.
Right. Well, perfect example would be someone that likes to move the ball left or right, and they come into 14, 15, 16, you've got three dogleg left. That's the perfect example of something not fitting your eye.
That was like, that. When I was walking, I was going, whoa.
Yeah. Oh,
how
yeah.
am I going to hit this shot? Whoa.
Sure.
Of course, I'm not going to hit it. I'm going to take three times to get there. Alex, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing with Jordan, too, is, you know, a lot of the equipment today is it makes you hit the ball straight. And so you need to throttle. I'm sure he was 300 at some point on Thursday, and then it started kind of getting away from him. And maybe you pressed a little and everything else. But the bottom line is I think this is a golf course for these guys that you don't really hit driver a lot. You really got to position yourself in the right places. You know, TPC Sawgrass is a great example. It's a position golf course. This course is a position golf course. You have to put yourself in the right places. You don't have to be long. That's why you can see a Zach Johnson win here easily. You can see, you know, a lot of the old guys like to come here. Fred Funk likes
Ken
to come
Duke.
Here. Justin Leonard's on the up there somewhere. These are guys that, you know how to play the golf course, know how to, you know, move the ball if they can, but basically know what they're supposed to be doing and control the golf ball as much as possible. I mean, if you can't control your golf ball here, you are on the plane. You're on the plane right now, back home to the mainland.
You know, a lot of guys are back on the plane to the mainland. And Shane Birch, one example. I wanted to ask you. There was, I don't know, Russell Henley, our defending champ. He wasn't feeling well. Shane Birch wasn't feeling well. A couple of caddies weren't feeling well. I think it's time. I have to take a commercial break. Can you guys stick around? Can Alex, are you going off to that?
Is she still paying us? Or what else? I don't know.
Kevin Carl, head professional at Wailea Country Club. Alex Maselli.
Oh.
Alex Maselli.
Yes, thank you.
Senior writer, Golf Week. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters in the Acura ILX? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter life crisis.
The 2014 ILX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
The Acura RDX is incredibly spacious, with over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space. With leather-trimmed seating surfaces, the RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 Best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stored in cargo area.
The 2014 RDX. Visit your local Acura dealer today.
Winter storms getting you down? Why not join us in Hawaii at the Aston Waikiki Sunset? This family-friendly condominium resort offers the best of both worlds. Hotel services and amenities and all the comforts and conveniences of home just over a block from famous Waikiki Beach. Newly renovated spacious suites include fully equipped kitchens, separate living and bedroom areas, and a private lanai to relax while enjoying magnificent views of Diamond Head, the Pacific, or Honolulu's vibrant city lights. Visit AstonHotels.com or call 1-866-774-2924.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Oh, welcome back. We're at Wildlight Country Club, and Alex Maselli always makes me laugh. He's a senior writer for Golf Week, and Kevin Carl is here. He's the head professional over here at the Wildlight Country Club, where we are for the Sony Open in Hawaii. But first, we are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. You can hear us. This show will you can hear it anytime you want at RadioGolfClub.com. It re-airs at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on our station here on Oahu, on KGU Honolulu. That's 99.5 FM. So it'll re-air in its entirety. But you can always catch us at, what is it called again? Stitcher? Danielle, what you do is you stitch all of your favorite shows together. It does not clog your hard drive. It just streams right through your phone, so it's not like you're putting a bunch of stuff on your hard drive. Or you can hear us at iTunes, or you can just go to the radio show at Golf Club Radio Show at RadioGolfClub.com. And if you go to the Listen button, then you click on and get the MP3, and then you can listen to it in pieces the way you want to listen to it and fast forward to a section that you may want to hear. All right.
I bet they don't want to hear that section right now.
Well, I was just thinking something really terrible. Like, you know, when you're watching a VCR or, your DVR or your TiVo or whatever it is you're watching and you fast forward to the commercial. Somebody once said they listen to my show. They like to listen on the MP3 because they can fast forward to the commercials. Now, I don't want you to fast forward to the commercials because, you know, you want to listen to those. Those people are taking care of us. They're making sure that this show is on the air.
That's how Kevin and I get paid.
Yeah, see? And by the way, speaking of shows, Alex Maselli and Bob Bubka are co-hosts of The Grill Room. They're going mobile, and it's really exciting. Go to thegrillroom.com to get all of the information and to listen to your shows online, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, The Grill Room. Oh. I can see you're really excited about that.
I am excited. You're five. You're five. I'm going to kindergarten next year.
We were talking about Tom Doak and his confidential guide. He was a writer a long time ago, wrote about golf courses. It was part of his job to critique golf courses. He created the confidential guide and kind of was critiquing golf courses. Then he started building golf courses. Then it was kind of politically incorrect to be critiquing other people's golf courses while he's building golf courses. And he said, well, you know what? I think I'm going to update it now. 20 years later, it needs to be updated, which is what he's doing right now. So the Confidential Guide is going to come out in the new edition with more golf courses in it. Just interesting to see how things change. And he thinks it's not such a bad idea for him to be able to talk about other people's work. As a golf writer, Alex, going around the world, Mr. Doak was saying that he only spends maybe 100 days, or he was away from home 150 days out of the year. How much time are you on the road?
That's about right.
Really? You spend that much time at home?
No. No, I guess I don't really. Last year I covered probably about 35 events, and I would say about 25 to 27 of those were full weeks, and then the other ones were 2 or 3 days. And then there's a couple of other little things in there. So, I don't know. What is that?
That's a lot of time on the road.
Yeah.
A lot of time away from home.
Not according to my wife.
Oh, you've gone even longer.
She says it's okay.
we were talking earlier before we went into the break about illness. And I don't think about it here. Here I am. I'm at home or I'm at Kapalua. It's not far from home. But being sick as a player on the road must be. Russell Henley was. I think he was.
He went to the hospital twice on Wednesday night for IVs.
Exactly. Then Shane Birch, who gave me a fantastic clinic. He'd never done a lesson before for anyone, and a friend of mine won this grand prize. I get to be inside the ropes as an honorary observer sometime this weekend. I got this lesson with Shane Birch, with my friend Terry, and he's a wonderful, wonderful guy, but I hear his caddy is his brother. He also said he wasn't feeling well. Was something going around?
Yeah, I think there is, because I've got some of my staff members as well with a bug. So I think it's just one of those things going around right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll keep your hands clean.
Yeah, I can. But come down.
Yeah, okay.
The Wildlife Country Club. There is a shrimp truck that looks like it's... Haven't you seen the shrimp truck yet?
No.
There's a shrimp truck in the Spectator Village. Is it round at number 11, I think it is?
Well, yes. Number 11, number 17 green right now.
Yeah, it looks like it's... So there's plenty of food. There's an ATM machine on the course. If you run out of money and you see that shrimp truck, you know, hey, you're going to have a good time. And you can come and follow the players, or you can sit down. The thing about Wildlife is that it's small. So you always seem to be a part of the action, no matter where you position yourself. What is your, Kevin Carl, head professional here at Wildlife Country Club, what's your suggestion for someone, a spectator, coming out?
Oh, the range is always a great spot. I love to go to the range. You've got, you know, 20 different swings there in front of you, and you can just kind of observe and see the uniqueness with each player. I always love to go to the range. But
is it cool to be at the range as a spectator?
Oh, definitely.
See, sometimes I feel like I'm in, even here, I've got a media pass. I still feel like I'm looking in on something where they're in privately working on their game, that I shouldn't be watching them.
No, they're in their own little bubble, so you're not bugging them at all.
Oh, that's such a good thing to know, that I can just, like, hang on the fence, like watching horses train.
There you go.
Hey, Alex, what's your suggestion for us? You've watched so many golf events.
Right. Well, I think that the one good thing about Wildlife is that it's flat, relatively flat, so it's really easy to walk. And, you know, hanging around 9 is nice because you're going to see a lot of action, just like you are at 18. Like yesterday at 18, it was downwind. The second shot was downwind. A lot of guys were getting 18 and 2. You know, I saw Daly make eagle there at 2, at 18. So there's a lot of stuff there. But, you know, if you walk out to 15, 16, 17, 18, and obviously if you're familiar with Wildlife, you realize that I'm not talking about the real 15, 16, 17, 18 because they reverse the 9. But
right.
But that side over there, I really like that. I mean, I think there's a lot of good stuff. Watching the tee shot into 17 is nice. 16 is a good hole. So there's a lot of stuff. I like the back 9 a little more than the front 9. I just, for whatever reason, just do. And I just think that's a good place to walk. And, you know, you're not far from the Spectator Village. You're not far from when you walk in. So I just think that the best part about this is that it is flat and you get to kind of wander around and you can go anywhere you want. And that's what we like as journalists, too, because when you're watching somebody, you want to cut over to someplace else, you can do that. At the Plantation Course, as an example, you need a hovercraft to cut over to something else.
I went backwards. I went up from 18 to 16. Just going from 18 to 16 is like, okay, I'm up here. No, I'm not leaving. And now I know you have to experience the Plantation Course to understand why they have shuttles. And a lot of people say, shuttles? I didn't think they allowed a professional golfer to be shuttled someplace. They're supposed to walk the course. Well, as someone said, it would take 8 hours, I think, wouldn't it?
It's just ridiculous. It's not what it's about. I mean, we are not... No matter what anybody thinks, this is not a sport. We are not. This is not supposed to be physical activity kind of thing. We're not running track meets. It's a game, and so you want to make sure that the guys are alive at the end.
You know, Kelly Slater was asked yesterday, "What's the difference? What's harder, surfing or playing golf?" That was the question posed to him. And let me ask you, Kevin Carl. Kelly Slater was out here watching because his buddy was on the bag for Adam Scott. So what is harder, surfing or playing golf?
Oh, it's different. I'm a golfer.
I wanted it from a golfer's perspective.
Yeah, and surfing is what brought me here to Hawaii. So that's ultimately why I came to Hawaii. So for me, it's without a doubt, it's surfing because, you know, golf is second nature to me. Now, obviously, for him, it's got to be the other way around because second nature to him is surfing.
Interesting. One thing he said, well, the thing about surfing is it's a moving surface that you're on.
Sure.
And then you have to move, and you have to know when you have to know when the wave is going to break, and you have
right.
to adjust to the timing of the wave and
right.
all of these things. And by the
But what everybody says is golf is a ball that's just sitting there, and all you should have to do is just hit it. It
right.
should just be, you know, be hittable.
Right.
It's just sitting there.
Right.
But it was interesting hearing it. I thought, yeah, that's true. And it's not like the ground underneath us is undulating, unless if there's an earthquake. You look at me with an interesting
metaphysically, the ground is always moving.
And the lawyer has arrived.
But I will say this, and I think this is the difference, is that, you know, it's a reaction type thing when you're surfing. And reactions, as you get better, they just happen. You're maybe not as good one day versus the other, but they're still happening. This game is a total mind game where you really, I mean, let's be honest, you hit a ball, you think it's great, it's not, and then all of a sudden you're on top of yourself saying, what the heck happened? And it doesn't matter how well you're hitting the ball. I mean, how many times do you hear guys say, I hit the ball really well today, I couldn't score, and I heard Boo Weekly yesterday say, I hit the ball horrible yesterday, and you're 6 under.
Yeah.
So my point is that it's all a mind, which is completely different than a reaction thing, which I think makes golf so hard. That's why even though the ball is stationary, except for the metaphysical thing,
yes, got it,
makes it difficult.
Yeah, and I think the mind part is we're thinking. When you're reacting, there's no time to think. You're just in the process. The ball's coming at me. It's been pitched. I got to hit it. You know, or once you start to swing with the ball to throw it, you're in the motion. There's no thinking about it. There's a little thinking right before it, but once you wind up and go, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And with golf, it's like, okay, and hopefully when you wind up and go in golf, you stop thinking. But unfortunately, because it's not quite as fast as throwing, you are. And that's the hard part. How does a golfer turn that part off? That analysis, the paralysis of analysis.
That's the question. Boy, if you had the answer to that, you'd
right?
be a billionaire. Yeah,
right.
It's hard to do.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Have you had any tips given to you along those lines? Any pearls of wisdom?
Well, I think, you know, Kevin can talk about this better than I can. I think when you're playing well, you realize that you're really not thinking. And that's the thing. You have to kind of get into that groove. And if you do, once you do, and it's amazing how things are going well, and the ball's going in the hole, and the ball's going where you want it to, and you're just kind of wandering down the golf course, and you're like, sometimes you're like, is it really this easy? Because it really, I mean, let's be honest, it's, you know, with the equipment you have and everything else, it shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah. One thing that Mark Rolfing is talking about doing with this 50th anniversary of Mauna Kea and the great golfers coming out back in 1964 is having a hole where the wood, somebody is playing a wood like they played in 64, and you get the opportunity to actually try to hit that ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like, okay, really? I mean, how many people could actually hit a persimmon at this point? Have you tried, Kevin Carl?
That's what I started with. Started with the old Hague Ultra set. So, yeah, persimmon wood, blades. And
when was the last time you used one, though?
Oh, it's been a while.
Right. You know,
it's been a while.
I mean,
yeah.
It's interesting. Have you used one lately?
No, but Ricky Fowler will play at Medalist sometimes with persimmon. And he actually has some old Titleist professionals.
Hmm.
I mean, they're probably, you know, because of those days, they soak up water and stuff. They're not exactly what they should be.
Okay.
But he plays with those once in a while. We were talking to Justin Leonard yesterday, and he was one of those diehard persimmon guys. We were talking about persimmon in general, and he said when he came out here, there were two guys that could drive the ball better than anybody else. They had separated themselves way beyond everybody else off the tee with persimmon, and that was Davis Love and Drake Norman. They were two great drivers of the golf ball. And as what happens is when we got to the technology, it kind of moved everybody closer, and so we don't have this big divergence that we had in the past. And, you know, and no offense to this particular person, but Kenny Perry is at 50 whatever years old now. I mean, the guy hits the ball better than he ever hit it when he was younger. And if Kenny Perry didn't have this technology, he could never have moved to where he is today. And I think that's fair. Justin Leonard, at the same time, is the guy that never was long. He was always 20 or 30 yards behind Davis Love, and it still would be today. And his problem was that he always moved the ball, which you can't move the ball now. It's very, very hard to move the ball. And he finally actually accepted, to a large extent, that he can't move the ball just recently. So, I mean, and there's so much more to it. I mean, I guess it's like tennis, where you wood rackets versus, graphite
absolutely.
Or metal rackets.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The technology changes everything. We are going to take a break, and then we're going to talk with a gentleman who travels with the PGA Tour. We were talking about traveling and having to go. I have to ask him how many days.
How many events are there on the PGA Tour, Alex Maselli?
40-something.
40-something? Can you imagine being on the road 40-something weeks? There's got to be somebody who fills in for him occasionally.
I believe so.
Yeah. Wade Stettner is going to be joining us. He's the meteorologist. It'll be interesting to see what his forecast is, because we're going to be teeing off early today. The tee times are, I believe it's 7:50 is the first tee time. The last tee time is 10 o'clock, trying to get everybody on the course, through the course. So come out now. It's a Sony Open in Hawaii. It's only $20. And all of that money goes to charity. All of the money raised at the Sony Open in Hawaii is matched by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation, 100% matching. So if $500,000 is raised this week for Sony Open in Hawaii, Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation puts in $500,000. And that's $1 million for 60-plus charities that really depend on the money coming in. And it's really awesome if you come out and have fun. And there's the shrimp truck looks great. And this is a vegetarian talk. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea for the Sony Open January 6th through the 12th. Come kick off the 2014 tour season with Zach Johnson, Webb Simpson, Jason Duffner, and Matt Kuchar. Big names, big action. Tickets at friendsofhawaii.org or at First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Military free with valid ID, new admissions, and bag policy. It's the Sony Open at Wailea, January 6th through the 12th. Visit friendsofhawaii.org.
Bring in the new year at the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa. Located on Ka'anapali Beach at the foot of legendary Black Rock, this sprawling resort welcomes travelers to a world of relaxation and discovery. Every guest room is newly renovated and comfortably appointed with breathtaking views of the Pacific Ocean, lush gardens, or lava rock waterways. And at sunset, catch the breathtaking plunge during the Black Rock cliff diving ceremony. To rediscover the legend of Ka'anapali, call 808-921-4646 and book your reservation today.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
All righty, we're here at the Sony Open in Hawaii. It's a fabulous event. There are 144 really terrific golfers. The first double eagle, an albatross, on the that is known in a PGA Tour event at Sony, whether or not somebody's already hit one here at the Wailea Country Club. I don't know, but it was the first one, and James Hahn did that yesterday. Amazing. The guys on Golf Channel were at lunch. They had just the camera on stationary, so they couldn't, you know, usually you see the ball being followed by the camera going on. No, not. It was just like a still camera. Here comes the ball to the hole. It was really amazing to see that. And he was, he tried to do a chest bump with his caddy, and it didn't come off right, but that's okay. If you're coming over, it's a lot of fun. We've got the Spectator Village. Plus, you can have a lesson with an Aloha Section PGA Tour professional like Kevin Carl over in the Spectator Village, and they're doing 10-minute lessons. It's really worth it. Jerry King did so much for my swing and for the contact that I make with the ball in just a few minutes, just helping with the grip. I was holding it just a little bit off, just a little bit. Like just moving it a skosh back in the stance, as Alex Maselli.
That's a trademark term, skosh. That's my trademark.
I'm sorry. How much do I owe you? Yeah. I got a couple bucks in my wallet here.
Yeah.
Golf Week, Alex Maselli. He's also the co-host of The Grill Room, grillroom.com, thegrillroom.com. And joining us now is someone I'm always amazed. You know, I look at the National Weather Service. They put out a forecast. It says slight chance of thunder showers, a little rain, heavier rains in the afternoon, and the winds will be shifting. And I'm okay, but it's absolutely spectacular.
Do you know the PGA Tour travels with a meteorologist? And joining us now is Wade Stettner, the PGA Tour's meteorologist. We know that the tee time's been moved up, and they're playing in threesomes and on the first and the tenth tee, trying to get everybody out and through before the threat of thunderstorms. Is it a real threat here at Wailea?
There is a slight threat. I think it's more of a showery type pattern this afternoon, but the threat for thunder, the threat for some heavier rain is there late this afternoon. So it was kind of a no-brainer. We have the time to work with, and we just moved it up a couple hours just to make sure we can finish so we don't get ourselves caught in trouble late in the day.
How do you, I mean, I think of the National Weather Service, and they have, like, banks of computers, and they're building, and they're analyzing all this stuff. And what do you travel with to make your prediction?
You know, everything is accessible through the Internet these days.
Wow.
So through the company that I work for, I just get into their servers and get all my data that way. And then we also travel with lightning detection equipment. So that's what we use to make the decision if we need to suspend play or not, if lightning is in the vicinity.
How soon ahead of lightning can you detect it in the air?
It really comes down to a threat level. You know, is lightning lightly? Is it unlikely? So what that detects is the charge in the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So when a rain shower comes overhead, we can see, is it building electricity? Is it flat?
Wow.
And if it starts to build electricity, that's when we become concerned, and that's when we take action. Lightning is unpredictable. You can't predict exactly when and where a strike will occur. So we use the technology to determine if the threat is high enough for lightning, and with that, we make our decision.
How exciting. I mean, the idea that, I mean, the lightning rods that they use to bring lightning in to measure the voltage. Lugano, they have this huge lightning study station between Switzerland and Italy, and they actually bring those bolts in to see what power is. But I had no idea that you had a portable device that you could detect the electrical charge in the air. That's magnificent.
There is. And there's actually a product out there that there's antennas set up throughout the world, and it pinpoints every lightning strike that occurs in the world. So we use that technology as well as the technology that we bring to the golf course, which gives us kind of a range of about 10 miles around the golf course. We use those in conjunction. I mean, the technology for lightning detection has gotten so good in the last 15, 20 years, and we can really do it at a very accurate forecast from the standpoint.
Alex Maselli, who's been struck by lightning twice in his career?
Well, Trevino's been struck, I don't know about twice. Trevino's been struck, Goose has been struck.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know, I think Trevino, I think he saw lightning flashing way in the distance. It was like over Molokai, which is kind of far away. But he said, I'm done, bye. You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's a, you know, obviously, you know, out here, and it's not just the players. It's easy to get the players off. They got fans, you just take them off, they're gone. But take a situation like this where you might have, you know, fans all over the place, you know, stands and everything else. And so you want to make sure that you can give the fans warning enough to get off the golf course as well, which is one of the bigger issues now.
So television audience, you know, chill. Because most of the people get upset on TV. What do you mean? I don't see a problem. There's no problem. Why aren't they still playing? Maybe just move the spectators and keep the players out there. That's not a good idea either. Alex, you're saying, what are you saying, Alex? Is that the expression? Why not? That's a good idea, sure.
We're changing from golf to something else at that point.
You know, people say that predicting, and the National Weather Service and the weather forecasters in general take a heat here in the islands about predicting what the weather's going to be like. Is it harder to predict island weather than it is, let's say, the continental weather on the mainland?
It is, because there's so many microclimates here on the island. You know, if you go on the windward side of the range versus here in Honolulu, or go over to the west coast, the weather is very, very different. So when they put out a forecast, they're regionalizing it. You know, they're saying, you know, windward showers. So you always hear showers in the forecast, even though it might be sunny every single day. And it really depends on where you are. That's why it's difficult on the islands, and really anywhere where terrain is a factor. You know, the west coast of the United States, I find, is a very, very difficult place to forecast for. Much easier once you get into the Midwest and to the east. And there's so many more observation points and better radar coverage. And here in the islands, we're in the middle of the Pacific. We can't see what's coming until they're almost in the island.
Yeah, we don't have the coverage, those different radar stations,
yeah.
Right? Because there's all that empty space in between us.
We're talking with Wade Stettner, meteorologist for the PGA Tour. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Also talking with Alex Maselli, senior writer of Golf Week magazine. Alex, do you ever do, like, who do you think is going to come out on top this weekend by Sunday?
Oh, you know, it's kind of hard, Daniel. You look at the board, there's a lot of guys that haven't won. You come here, the first really, I'm not considering what happened, you know, before we got here in January, but the first event for some guys, and time off and new equipment and everything else, so it's really hard to say. I mean, Russell Henley last year played really well through, you know, two rounds and actually won, but you see guys, Matt Every played well through two rounds here and then all of a sudden faded, so it's pretty difficult because this golf course is such that it creates the opportunities, but it also takes things away from guys, too, so I think it'd be interesting.
Adam Scott?
Well, I mean, he's played well here before.
Yeah.
And obviously after this, he's taken like a, two months off or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it wouldn't be bad. But certainly he's certainly capable. But, I think what you find now in the PGA Tour is that when you get a board and you look at it after two rounds, anybody on that board can win. Back in the day, that wasn't the case.
Yes. I mean, you go to the names. Harris English, you know, man's won twice, young man. But Bud Cauley didn't make the cut. I was surprised. And then I think to myself, you know, somebody that we're not talking about is going to win. Somebody that's off the radar, so to speak, is going to win. And that's because, as you said, Alex Maselli, Golf Week senior writer, today any one of the guys in the cut has an opportunity to win, and it wasn't like that 10 years ago.
No, it's different. And I think that's what's interesting about it, but at the same time, there's a lot of guys that you need to learn about. And then you get what happens with Henley. I mean, Henley wins last year and then really didn't do anything really much after that.
No.
You know,
no.
So, you know, had a great, and you look at it, you know, this is always funny. We always anoint, in the media, we always anoint
yes.
people. Wow. Just wait to see that guy's season now after what he did at Sony.
How we put them up on pedestals and you know, I mean, what they come crashing down. It's just not fair, actually. But it's the nature of the beast.
That's right. Well, yeah. Got to do something.
Got to talk
week.
About something every week, right?
That's right.
Can't always be Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Is he going to win a major?
No. But I've been consistent. I've been since 08. I've said that, so I feel pretty good. Right now, I'm the only guy that's been right.
You're Alex Maselli, the only guy that's been right, senior writer Golf Week and co-host of the Grill Room radio show with Bob Bupka. Thanks so much for spending time with me on, you know, not being paid. It's really cool.
Well, that's because I get to call you Danny when I want to, so that's I'm good with that.
Yeah, but see, I like that, so that's cool for me. I need to take care of the people who take care of us and the people who actually make this show possible. I think we have our list of, yes, thank you so much. These are the people who make this show possible. Acura of Honolulu, and had a great junior event early in the week, raised $20,000 for Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Get the city-sized luxury of the ILX with a special lease. It starts at just $209 a month, or take advantage of their special 0.9% APR. Yes, it's been extended. Acura once again proves that its amazing overall value winning is consistent this year. They've won once again the ALG Award for overall brand value. And there's no safer luxury car on the road. And check out, you don't have to listen to me, okay? Because I don't make this stuff up. The NHTSA, they do the ratings. And if you check out the ratings for the 2014 Acura line, you'll hear it from the experts. There's never been a better time to drive an Acura. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. Virtually, it's amazing to play that course. It seems very difficult, but don't let that throw you off. It's beautiful. You will be distracted. Just tee it forward. Tee it forward. Play it the way you're comfortable playing it. And have some fun, because that's the only way to play golf. It's for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Star Protection. Okay, you have them come on your property. They assess the risk to your property. And then they put in the protection. Whether it's your home or your business. For your concert or your special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
Get the STAR team on your property. STAR Protection, it's what you need in Hawaii and in California. And the Sony Open in Hawaii, come on down. We're having a great time. I'll be here. I'm going to walk the course. I'm going to go to the Spectator Village. You can park at Hunakai or Kahala Community Parks and get a free shuttle. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.